everyone, and welcome to the Dare Township Board of Supervisors meeting. This is our regularly scheduled meeting, Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023, sometime at place scheduled for this meeting. The board met in executive session at 6:30 p.m. to discuss land and legal issues. That executive session ended at approximately 7:04 p.m. So with that, I've now called the meeting to order, and I'd ask everyone rise, pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is the time for our roll call. Mrs. Serkin, are you taking roll tonight?
I certainly can.
Why don't you? Would you please indulge us?
Of course. Mr. Supervisor Zamuda.
Here.
Supervisor Corrado.
Here.
Supervisor Nutt.
Here.
Supervisor Wykoff.
Here.
Supervisor Abruzzo.
Here.
Five present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Serkin. With five of us being present, the full board is here. First item on our agenda is the visitor public comment session. I'll note for housekeeping purposes, although it's posted within the meeting room, I want to advise all persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. That's important because during visitor public comment, anyone coming up to the podium wishing to place comment into the record needs to state their name, first name and last name, and their address. The board generally gives about three minutes to each speaker. If you're not wrapping up at around the 3 minute point, I'll sort of nudge you to wrap up your point. Other than that, the floor will be open to anyone wishing to offer comment into the record. There are two visitor public comment sessions, one now and then one at the end of the meeting. So just as a heads up. And then for anyone that appears at the podium, again, it's really important for capturing accurate meeting minutes to make sure that anyone appearing at the podium identify themselves if they're speaking, first name and last name. So it's not as important if you're here for an agenda item. You don't need to give us your address, but you do need to tell us your name. You need to identify yourself, because that information that is used by the stenographer to make sure that all the meeting minutes and the comments made during the meeting are attributed to the right people. And just as important for folks that are listening to the audio version of this meeting tomorrow or the next day, when they're listening, right, and you can't see who the people are, who the speakers are, it's very difficult to keep track of who's actually speaking and who's saying what. So that's really it in terms of the rules of the meeting. So the first item, again, is visitor public comment. I invite anybody from the public wishing to come forward. Please do so at this time. All right, seeing as no one has come forward, we will close this session of the visitor public comment on the agenda. We'll move to our consent calendar. There are four items on the consent calendar for this evening's meeting. For those of you in the room, there is a copy of the agenda inside the door, so you can see what the consent calendar items are. So with that, I always like to point out, the board has the option of approving all consent calendar items with one motion or taking them individually. So at this time, I'll ask my fellow board members, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that the board accept the consent calendar as made public in tonight's agenda, items A through D.
All right, motion made by Mr. Wykoff to approve all items under the consent calendar for this evening's meetings. For this evening's meeting, is there a second?
Second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Corrado. Is there any discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously, and all items under the consent calendar are approved or adopted for this evening's meeting. That'll take us to new business. The first item under new business is A. It's the requester authorization to apply for a Keystone grant to cover the air conditioner replacement for the Hershey Public Library. Ms. Jacobine.
The township is seeking board approval to submit an application for a Keystone grant for public library facilities from the Pennsylvania Department of Education. The Keystone Grant is a matching grant that reimburses up to 50% of eligible costs to plan, acquire, construct, or rehabilitate public library facilities, with grant funds requested not to exceed $750,000. This is a competitive grant program, and the application must be submitted by a sponsoring municipality developed cooperatively with the library's board. In 2023, $4.1 million in funds were awarded as part of this grant program. Derry Township previously applied for and received this grant in 2018 for costs related to the Youth Services Redesign Project at the library. The current plan is to apply for the grant again in October 2023 to cover costs related to replacement of the library's failing 25-year-old air conditioning system. Anticipated costs for replacing the air conditioning system are in excess of $250,000, and soft costs such as engineering design of the biddable project are being determined but are reimbursable under the grant's guidelines. Current funding priorities for the grant monies are addressed in this project, as the grant is specifically looking to fund projects that address energy efficiency and non-routine maintenance. Applying for this grant will hopefully lessen the financial burden of replacing the library's air conditioning system by allowing the township to be reimbursed for 50% of the total project costs through the Keystone Grant Program. Anyone have any questions,
Thank you, Allison. Any questions? Is there a time frame for when you would expect, whether we receive grant funding or not, Allison, time frame for when this replacement would occur?
We're hoping that it's going to occur before summer of next year.
Okay.
So once we would hear about the grant funding, we would then proceed with moving forward with replacing.
Very good. Thank you. If there are no questions, we can entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the Board of Supervisors authorize the Township Manager to apply for Keystone Grant for public library facilities.
All right, very good. Motion made by Mr. Corrado. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Samuda. Any further discussion?
I just want to thank Allison for looking into this. This is a big cost. So when you get this grant, it would be a big relief for taxpayers. So thank you for doing all this legwork.
All right, if nothing else, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item is B. It's the sketch plan for Park Village Plaza Quick Serve Restaurant, Plot 1374. Mr. Habick.
Plot 1374 was presented to the Planning Commission on Tuesday, May 2nd. This plan is filed by KND Holdings and represents the further development of an approximately 10.87 acre tract of land fronting on East Main Street and Walton Avenue, commonly known as Park Village Plaza. The site is located in the General Commercial Zoning District, and the proposal is to construct a one-story, 1,500 square foot quick service restaurant with a patio. No new access points are proposed to the site. However, the internal traffic flow of the site will have to be modified. The proposed use is being considered by the township as a food services without a drive-through, which is a permitted use in the general commercial zoning district. At this time, the applicant is not proposing any new sidewalks or bike paths as part of the development, and the applicant indicates that this project will increase the vegetative coverage and reduce the impervious coverage on the site. In the narrative, the applicant indicates that this new project will displace 25 parking spaces, but that will be replaced with 28 new spaces on the property, which is a net new parking spaces of three. As the restaurant will only contain three indoor seats and 12 outdoor seats, parking is neither improved nor worsened by this development. And then, to summarize HRG's comments, to point out one of their comments, it's they asked that the applicant provide a description on how the quick serve restaurant will impact existing movements entering and exiting the parking lot. And the Planning Commission echoed those concerns, asking about the flow of traffic, especially at the entrance and exit of Sheets. As this is a sketch plan, there is no official motion required by the board. However, I will turn it over now to the applicant.
Good evening. My name is Matt Plant. I'm with BL Companies here representing the applicant this evening. And we do have, like I said, we presented
There you go.
I'll open the red. I'm Matt Plant with BL Companies, and as we mentioned here, representing the applicant for actually what would be proposed as a bylaw. I don't know if anybody's familiar with those. Seen some head shake. The Planning Commission, I don't think, was as familiar with it, but we were here and got their input, and Chuck and David recommend coming here and receiving yours too, because as we understand that area, there's a number of things, I believe, that it's going on right now in that as well. So again, if you have questions, we're here to answer them or just receive some of your suggestions, recommendations as we move forward.
Does anybody have any specific questions? I think I have a few, but I'm happy if somebody else wants to go first.
Yes, I'll start. I am familiar with the Acai Eagles because I've got two teenage daughters, so that's a big thing with teenagers. I guess my biggest concern is looking at through the Planning Commission notes. I share those same concerns. There's a lot of traffic that goes into the Sheets, and it's really sometimes confusing to after you've pumped gas and are trying to get in and out of that property. And I'm also concerned that the removal of those parking spots, it looks like the parking spots are going to be behind the building. Like they're going to be behind the Sheets and also like behind the Hershey Beer store and Aruga's. I mean, if you cut through there, I think we get a lot of tourists here in Derry Township. And I think that the tourists don't even know that there's parking spaces back there. So is there enough parking spaces out in front for, you know, that many spaces to be removed? And
that's
knowing that
things.
Tourists will have no idea, and most residents probably don't
right.
know that there's parking
know.
Spaces.
Yeah, and with there. The, also with the uses, I mean, they're a little bit staggered use as far as when the impact would be out there. One of the things I did want to, we're working through the updated parking matrix too as requested, and the numbers are looking good for that as well, meeting all the requirements. The one thing I did want to mention, Chuck, if you can show the 24 foot there by the quick serve the other way. Right there, there's existing parking. That does, you know, attempt to clean up the area a little bit, because right now, I think some people are talking about using that space. They just go over the parking spaces.
And drive through there and get to the gym
yeah.
or wherever else.
Yeah, so that's one thing that does clean up the area just a little bit. As far as clarifying that, gets rid of a few of the backup stalls that were right along the access drive or entrance there. But yes, I do hear as far as the accessibility of where the parking spaces are and the stacking there in front of the Sheets.
And then it looks like the parking spaces that would be along the side of the restaurant, like, would those parking spaces be those cars that are parked along, I guess, the left-hand side of the quick service restaurant, like where that
yeah, from there, that would just pick
would
up
the... Would they be backing out into the traffic that is leaving the Sheets?
At that point, it's just picking up what's existing. So we're trying not to disturb as much of the existing. So yeah, that's currently what's there, and that was just fitting it into the existing spots.
So the spots would stay there?
Yeah.
Okay, I personally would have some concerns about traffic.
You're talking about the ones that continue down along the access drive?
Well, that are next to the quick service restaurant. There's no parking spaces that will be there. Those parking spaces will be eliminated?
Right now we show them as staying.
Okay.
That could be something we could look at. So.
I would just think that the vehicles would come in, they would park, and then they would back out, and there's a lot of traffic that's
mm-hmm.
coming out of
right.
Sheets, and that's the only way back out if you're trying to get back on, if you're trying to get back on to May Street.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty busy there.
No, I think that I echo what Mrs. Nutt, what her concerns are. That is already a really poorly designed parking lot, right? So I have no opposition to your store itself, the restaurant, but that location, just the whole parking lot is a problem. And I don't know if you've ever been in that parking lot on a Friday afternoon in the summer, but whatever you've observed at any other time of the year, it's three times as bad in the summer. And I don't think you're going to find that people want to use that patio, because I think the traffic outside and the noise outside will not be a pleasant experience for them. But I said this with engineering studies. Where's Mr. Creasy? Here it is. I'm going to say this. This is just because you've heard me say this a million times, but there is the traffic situation. Well, on the one hand, your restaurant, you know, of all things being equal, should do very well. On the other hand, you also run the risk that it does not do all that well because people find it very difficult to get in and out of that location. Now, the tourists, they'll come all, you're not going to have a problem with them. They'll tolerate the bad traffic conditions in there, and it is a little dicey to come in. Even on a regular day, it's not just automobiles going into the sheets. You have trucks. It's not a well. Wasn't a well planned parking lot.
Well, I think it evolved, right? I think the parking lot maybe evolves the wrong word, because if you notice, and you guys are very familiar with it as well. As far as the East Main Street, it didn't always go cut through there. That used to be the access drive. There used to be more parking spaces within that, which puts the Papa John's, which is right there within the setback line also. So, if there was any reconfiguration of that, it would push the proposed building back into the setback line. I don't know if there'd be any consideration of things being made better as far as any zoning.
Are you saying push the building far to the right?
We looked at explored a couple different options, and one of them, pushed it up a little bit closer to Papa John's, but it'd be within the setback. We didn't want to go through the zoning, approval process if it didn't have to. And right now, the plan before us doesn't have to, but I just thought I would. That's the building setback line, and you can see Papa John's, because this was the access drive that was part of the proposed subdivision before. And whenever the KFC went in, there's some configuration that you got the cul-de-sac over here, and then this is when that became actually dedicated to the township. That's a 3 foot off the property line. So, but one of the, a couple of considerations looking at pushed the building up into the setback. We didn't want to go down through the zoning approval process, but hearing some of the concerns, I just thought I would ask if there's any input there. If it allowed us to alleviate some of the other traffic concerns.
Well, I think our concern, when you just look at sort of public safety in that parking lot, it's mm-hmm. gonna be even worse than it is. But it's unfortunate, because it's not your problem, it's a problem that was already created.
Like I said, this is correcting some of that. It's getting rid of those couple spots that are back in there. These parking spaces that we show existing, are currently existing. So your any stacking would be different than what it is now, because it's an access drive there, not the. But yeah, whenever this became the township road, they did lose some additional parking that was over here.
Rick, did you have a question?
Yeah, I've got a question. Why did you choose that particular spot?
Visibility. People driving the main street out there, there's a more visibility right there in the corner.
Because it would seem that, to me at least, that if you were to move that to the other side of Papa John's area and create a new in or out there, it would mitigate some of the concerns that we have about the increased maybe public safety and traffic safety. Although we still have concerns about the number of visitors you guys are going to have and what it's going to look like out on that road, because it's a nightmare anyway. But it seems to me that you're trying to jam that in there, and a lot of parking lot space that you can put that somewhere else. I don't know if the rest of my compatriots here would agree with that or not, but it just seems logical that you have everything funneling in right now, especially with your project, everything funneling into that one little road, and it's already overloaded with what comes through, because people go in and out. That's, for all intents and purposes, the only point of in and out.
Yeah, you're talking about lot. Up in there right now.
Yeah. if you were to move that over to the other side of Papa John's somewhere, I mean, there's a vast parking lot there. I'm not an engineer, I don't know, but it seems to be.
Now, this allows us to take it all in to consider what would work out best. So definitely appreciate all the input.
Matt, the I'm sorry, did you have a follow
up? I was just gonna reiterate that it's not it, what I just mentioned might mitigate the other traffic issues. It might thin them out, but the in and out there is going to be a problem too. I'm not sure how you could, if you leave that there, I'm not sure how you can resolve that. So, yeah, I'm done. Go ahead.
On the proposed sketch, it appears there's a patio. That's uncovered?
I would assume so.
Are there stanchions or is there a fence or something that's separated from parking?
Yeah, I think that's one of the comments too.
It's 3 feet off the ground?
Well, right here is a patio. I mean, whatever we would need to provide protection, we provide there.
Yeah, I'm just thinking the parking's so close.
Yeah. We're not that at that stage for those details yet, but yeah, sure that would be considered.
Matt, I've got another question.
Sure.
In regards to the way that you're proposing the traffic flow, is Papa John's okay with this? It seems like they're kind of like putting more on an island, like, whereas the flow to get to their restaurant might be inhibited by a dumpster and are those bump outs or
bumps? Yeah, oh, this is proposing, this is where I was mentioning, we're getting rid of those parking spaces that are existing, which I think most of the time that ends up being the Papa John's flow, right? Okay. So we're actually clearing that up a little bit and providing the access for this layout. They can just come in there without having to go across the parking spot.
And then can I intervene a little bit? Can I come up?
You can. You're just going to have to come and introduce yourself.
Sorry. Krobo Desai with Candy Holdings.
Could you spell your name, sir?
K-R-U-P-A-L. Last name is D-E-S-A-I. D-E-S-A-I. Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm the owner of the property. I'm coming up with this game plan to put this 1,500 square foot restaurant there. I mean, I have no problem moving whatever you guys recommend, you know, moving to a different site or different area to make this project work. I hold all the leases, so Papa John's has no issue with what we're doing there. You know, this is something that I believe it's a healthier option that's even there with all the fast food restaurants and all these other things going on there that would benefit the area. I understand the traffic increasing and this and that. It's a very small restaurant. It's basically, every you know, it's Three Seasons site. People are coming in and out. It's an RCA place. I have three girls here. So,
and mine currently drives to go. Lebanon. To get us
able.
So I know there's a market for this,
yeah,
which is why I'm really concerned about
there the traffic. And you know, I understand the traffic situation. I understand there's other things going on in the surrounding area. You know, our main purpose here is to, you know, figure out what you guys are thinking, how we can make this project work for us. That's all. And I don't, you know, again, it's one of those situations where, you know, you have Gold's Gym, there's certain traffic in certain hours to the right of the situation, to the right of Papa John's, with the you know entrance and exit coming out there, maybe it would work there. I have no problem moving the location. We're just trying to figure out your thoughts on how we can make this project work. That's all.
And I think if you could play around or experiment with a different location, I mean, I can spitball, but I don't know if that is even acceptable to you. But I think from what I'm hearing from everybody, it having it right there at the entrance is really the concern. You know, we don't have a problem with the facility itself. It's just that we want to make sure that we're not. That is just a tricky area for people to get in and out of.
And I'm okay with moving the location.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem moving the location at all. I just figured, you know, based on the size of the restaurant being one story and having you know the visibility from the main entrance, that would be feasible to us. But now, if you guys have a different opinion, I have no problem moving the building anyway. The only thing I want to avoid is obviously moving more to the right with the Gold's Gym.
Oh, okay.
Just because, you know, in the mornings, they have a lot of people going in and out between certain hours. This concept, obviously based on season, you know, the traffic flow is going to be a little bit different, more towards the evening than it would be toward the morning. Because this is more towards the afternoon type evening.
Just curious, what if, and this is probably contrary to what I was saying earlier, but what if you took the restaurant where it's located now, sure, and the entrance, you basically moved it higher up and then to the left, so that you almost made a straight, like a barrier all the way down from the entrance, restaurant, if you could, almost at the back of the restaurant.
There.
Yes.
The back over here.
Well, that's where we had it.
I'm just curious if you could do something with that, and then, because that might actually be a way to help the parking situation and make it more.
But I believe what the engineers came up with is we created less of parking spaces moving it up more front than it would be in the back. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that had less of an impact on the existing parking, but as we're going through the numbers too, I mean, we can take everything you're saying in consideration and just work more.
Good.
I know you have a long agenda tonight.
I have no problem.
Well, good.
I'm just going to make it work.
I think, and we'd like to see you make it work, and I think that's the value of coming to these meetings. At least you can hear what we're thinking, right? And then you get an opportunity to go back and try to come up with the plan that makes sense based on what. And that's why we try to be open with our feedback, so that you're not wondering what
makes the engineers more money.
Yes.
Right. I like it. No, I appreciate the comments. Thank you. Yeah, we'll try to do our best.
Yeah, any other
questions? I think we're
okay. Okay.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
No, thank you very much.
Anything
else, then?
I think that's it, man.
All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it. All right, well, that'll take us to item C on the agenda, which is the preliminary final land development and stormwater management site plan for Hershey Square proposed outparcel development plat 1353. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the item that was tabled at your last meeting. So as the board's aware, the preliminary plan for Hershey Square Shopping Center was approved on December 6th. With a concern for the traffic in the area, the applicant has since completed and submitted a traffic impact study, which has been reviewed by HRG. The applicant continues to revise some of the plan sheets related to the proposed improvements, and their attorney is working with Pat on details for an agreement between the applicant and the township related to the submission of the PennDOT permitting plans. Tonight, the applicant is seeking assurances from the board that the township will be the applicant for the PennDOT permitting plans for the associated intersection improvements after the agreements between the developer and the township are completed and any modifications to the permit plans as recommended by HRG have been completed. I think at that point, I'm going to turn it over to Pat because I know he's been working through this agreement as well.
Sure. No, I think Chuck covered it fairly well. In the event the board does proceed with a motion, it would not be on the plan. This would be authorizing moving forward with the PennDOT application, subject to and conditional upon both the township and the applicant agreeing to a final HOP application agreement that's acceptable to the township, as well as the final design of those traffic improvements being proposed in a manner and form acceptable to the township and the township engineer. I will just note that I think since the last time you were here last, not you, but Charlie Sir was here last meeting, and you requested this specific item to be tabled because there was a recent May 8th review letter from the township engineer, and in there was one, maybe a couple recommendations. The one big one was probably with respect to the expansion or the extension of, what is it, Hershey Park Drive, the left turn lane there, and to the extent that the board is willing to consider moving forward this evening subject to those conditions that the agreement's finalized and the design is in a manner finalized in a manner acceptable to the township engineer. That extension specifically recommended in the May 8, 2023 review letter from HRG will be part of that as with respect to the recommended or the design that would be ultimately acceptable to HRG and the township.
Good evening. Ambrose Hines from Stevens and Lee.
Could you press the button?
Thank you. Ambrose Hines from Stevens and Lee, attorney for the applicant. Mr. Pablo Banderas is here with me as well, as well as Holly Evans. I just want to understand what Mr. Armstrong is saying. So we did get a review letter after the last meeting. I was at that meeting for another applicant, so I was here for that discussion. but the application, the plans have been submitted, my understanding is that the current set of plans with the proposed improvements that were recommended in the traffic impact study as submitted. There was a comment letter from Mr. Stump, which was responded to. At present, the application is, or the plans proposed, the improvements just that were submitted and recommended in our study. If just so we understand what you're saying, Mr. Armstrong, if the board decides to move forward tonight, your recommendation would be to include an additional comment that was raised in that May 8th letter, is that
correct? Because if the two conditions of the board authorizing moving forward with the HOP application would be subject to the HOP application agreement being finalized,
correct.
And the design of the traffic improvements associated with this plan being finalized in a form acceptable to HRG before they get submitted to PennDOT. And right now, I believe it's the township's position or understanding that additional recommendation in that May 8th letter would be part of the final design plan that the township would be agreeable with submitting to PennDOT. Now, you referenced the response letter. I don't know if I've seen a response letter.
Yeah, that was a May 18th response letter.
Okay, I don't know if I've seen that, but yeah. Do you have anything to add, Eric?
No, I agree that there are both no outstanding comments with the traffic study itself, the findings of levels of service and the queues, as well as the HOP plans we just received in the last week or so. They're currently under review. Certainly we're going to have some comments that I agree with us to have those comments addressed no prior to submitting to PennDOT.
And that's fine with respect to the plans that are currently in review. I guess the question is it the position that you would want to see the additional recommendation that was made in your May 8th letter?
Yes, yeah, specifically.
So, they're not included in those plans, I don't believe.
You're referring to the extension of
the extension of the left turn. South bank left turn. And the basis of that is really the comment was raised that the queue level, there would be some additional vehicle stacking in that lane. Our position is we're looking at maybe one vehicle length of additional stacking that would occur in the build scenario with improvements. So, you know, to have that as part of this application, we didn't feel that was necessary at this time. That's why it wasn't proposed in the plans that were submitted or in response letter. But if I understand your position and what you're saying, that would be included after Mr. Stump responds, we'd like a 5-minute break just to discuss sure. that. Sure. But go ahead.
Sure. The discussion with regard to comment one in our May 8th letter, that essentially states the southbound left turn lane, so that's turning off of Hershey Park Drive onto May Street. That existing left turn lane is approximately 200 feet long. The projected queues there are 330 feet. That lane, the queues extend beyond that 200.
Can we clarify something there? It's 300 feet. The projected queues are 300 feet pre-development.
I was getting to that.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure that's
so,
clear.
So with development, the projected queues in the worst case are 330 feet. The lane itself is 200 feet. they are adding, as a result of their development, traffic and the revised configuration of the lane addition that they're making and the timing changes. They are still projecting that the queue will increase by 25 feet during the afternoon peak hour and 80 feet during the Saturday peak hour. So that's the impact of their traffic.
Just another clarification on that, the 80 feet would occur regardless of the bill, is that correct?
If you're going to have people speak, we have to follow this.
Yes.
That's why I was trying to get Ambrose's attention. I apologize. For clarification's sake, basically what we're trying to say is with the no-bill situation, even though the lane is currently 200 feet long, it would still be required to be 300 feet long. Our development only causes an additional 25 feet. It goes from 200 to 300 to 325 feet. So 25 feet of it is because of our development, what we're trying to say, in the PMP. On a Saturday, and we're not arguing, we're just trying to make sure we clarify all we're doing at this point in time. In a Saturday peak, it goes from 200 feet, it requires an additional 80 feet, but it's still less than the control, which is the PM peak. So the overall length of the design is really being controlled by the PM peak. Am I correct, Eric, in that statement? The need for 325, 330 feet is based upon the PM peak.
Correct. The PM peak is longer than the Saturday peak. I think the point we were trying to make by extending it is it's deficient in both cases, the PM and Saturday. Even though it's only deficient, by 20 feet on Saturday without development, now that's all of a sudden that 20 feet is becoming 100 feet deficient on Saturday. It's more impactful. Agreed. The overall lane length is longest in the afternoon.
Correct.
Peak, which they are having less of an impact during that peak. But there are impacts in both peaks, and the more peaks you're impacting, obviously, the more cadence that the lane will be overflowed or that will.
The intent of me bringing this up is because I believe if the board moves forward, again, authorizing the HOP application would be subject to the agreement being finalized and the design being in a manner acceptable to the township engineer. My understanding is that a manner acceptable to the township engineer will include extending that left turn lane to whatever that distance is that the township engineer feels is appropriate. And that's it. My understanding is the width is there,
we're not disputing that part. We're making sure we're clarifying before we take a 5-minute break and have a conversation about what we're asking for right now.
I understand.
So this is strictly to clarify that for the board's purpose, fair understanding, that we understand your motion is going to include the comment in Mr. Stubbs' letter, which addresses that need for the additional length of the left turn lane on the southbound Hershey Park Drive road, okay? And we simply want to clarify for the board, for the supervisors, understanding of that additional 135 feet, 100 feet of it is based upon the no-build condition. We basically add the additional 25 to 30 feet of that length. And the PMP is what controls this whole design, regardless of what the Saturday comes from. It's the PMP which controls it. Okay? So we're not debating what you're stating. We just want to make sure it's clear that the board understands that. And we'd like to think about a 5-minute break to discuss this amongst yourself, because we understand where your direction is.
And the issue, of course, is this is an additional cost on top of the improvements. We're looking at it from the applicant's perspective. If we're adding 25 feet, is it really appropriate that this applicant is bearing the cost of a condition that's going to happen regardless? And that full additional 125 feet, we're only really responsible for 25 feet. So that's the question. The applicant, we'll take a 5-minute break and we'll come back. And
if you want to move something ahead of us while we wait, and that way you keep on moving while the next item goes ahead of us, that'll give us a chance to talk for a little bit, come on back.
I only warn you that the next item on the agenda is you'll have more than 5 minutes.
give us a 5-minute break, we'd greatly appreciate that.
You'll have more than 5 minutes. You're welcome to.
Let's we'll talk and you guys can.
Okay. And by the way, Holly, just so the record's right, that was Holly Evans, right? You're speaking.
Sorry,
Holly. So make sure there are issues.
I apologize.
And I know. And I
know. And thanks for the conversation. This is all for the good. We want to make sure everyone's fully clearly understands what we're discussing.
That's important.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to take a pause on item C, and as the parties gather their thoughts outside the room, we are going to move on to item D. And then when we're done D, we'll the parties will be prepared to come back to the podium and finish item C. So item D is the proposed modifications to the Derry Township zoning ordinance related to master plan requirements, building setbacks in the Palmdale mixed use and Hershey mixed use zoning districts, and downtown core design standards. Mr. Everett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When compared to the size of the information that follows this agenda item, it's a very short agenda item in and of itself. But anyway, as requested by the board, Pat and I have reviewed and provided comments on certain sections of the Derry Township zoning ordinance. It's related to master plan requirements, adjustment of building setbacks in the Palmdale mixed use and Hershey mixed use zoning districts, and modifications to the downtown core design standards. We've provided the board with our track changes copies of the master plan section and the downtown core section of the zoning ordinance, and I've also included a memo discussing the setback requirements. Since any of these discussions would get well into the weeds, we are recommending that the board consider scheduling a special workshop meeting specifically for these discussions. We feel it would be good to engage all five members of the board at one time, which a special meeting would allow us to do.
So if we have a workshop meeting, so the public is invited, although there's no public comment, they can listen. And as we talk about these items, how long do you think we would need to schedule for a workshop on this?
Pat smiled as did I. 3 hours would get started. Now, you know, certainly here we're looking at two sections of the ordinance and some decisions on setbacks. Both Pat and I have made some suggestions in the modifications. I'll say Pat and I don't agree 100%, but you know, certainly you know, you have some guidance. So I would say that if you went through the track changes, I think we could get through everything in 3 hours. That's my concern for having it in a regular meeting, to give it the due justice that it deserves.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I mean, to the extent it's not self-explanatory, the master plan provisions that you have in front of you, it's the existing provisions for the master plan. The track changes are what's being proposed. At least the majority of them, I think we've talked through. Maybe some of them, there's some discussion which way the board wants to go. The intent of those changes are to make more things requirements, to adjust some of the percentages for the density, to add some specific requirements like open space and maybe some plan procedures to address the concerns, at least that I was made aware of during the last master plan that we went through. And then the other ones, downtown core design, same thing. I think Chuck provided the existing ordinance for track changes that would be proposed. And then the setbacks maybe is a little bit more of a memo style as opposed to an amendment to the ordinance in a whole with respect to those sliding scales for the setbacks. However the board wants to do it, work session I'm fine with. We just have to come up with a date, and maybe we do it if you want to schedule it before one of your regular meetings that week. No?
Okay, for 3 hours? That don't even give us an hour.
It's really up to the board, how you guys want to
proceed. I think if we're gonna do a work session, we will grant you this request on the conditions that we need to get this scheduled within the next 30 days.
Although it's opening slowly, I do have a calendar to look at for available dates.
All right. I also have, my question is, you know, we've been waiting to get this sort of proposed text amendments in front of us for some time. So what is the status if someone buys a house tomorrow in the village area with the setbacks as they currently exist, despite the fact that we've been working on the changes to the zoning? What standard would that person be held to, assuming they bought the house tomorrow and they were going to come in for, you know, building permit, they were going to tear the house down and they were going to rebuild? would they be held to the current zoning requirements as it relates to setbacks, or is this public discussion of the text amendment sufficient to...
Right now, they would be subject to whatever's on the books. You don't have an actual ordinance in front of you ready to be advertised yet. If it's just a building permit, there's such a thing as a pending ordinance, so once you advertise it, then you're pretty much protected for whatever form ordinance you advertise. Now, it wouldn't be a subdivision or land development application, but a building permit, yes, I believe the pending ordinance document would apply. But at this point, you don't have that finite ordinance that you'd be advertising. So anyone that applies for a permit right now, they would be going with what's up on the books.
I'll just look to my colleagues. Is there a preference on how you'd like to handle this? We can try to plow through some of it tonight. We can separately just have a workshop.
If you do have a workshop, what I would suggest is if you know tonight that you have, if you've already looked through what you've been provided and you have some comments or concerns or you want to give us a little bit more guidance between now and the workshop to maybe make some additional changes between now and then, this might be an opportunity to do that. So you're not waiting and you're not just sitting. If you know tonight that you have concerns.
Why don't we kind of go through, let's start with the setbacks, and because I think we can give Chuck some guidance and then we can have a workshop, but at least you'll know where the majority of us are coming from, and so we can that may help streamline that workshop session.
Sure.
And we'll just, board members have to refrain from drilling too far down in the weeds. We just got to kind of get through giving Chuck some guidance. So if you want to pull it up, Chuck, you can take the lead on how you want to present it to us, and we'll just kind of move through it and try to move through it timely.
Sure. So I provided a memo, which I'm projecting on the board. I hope that's okay, Pat. Basically what the memo is suggesting is in the village, we have a lot of very small lots. In Palmdale, we have a lot of very small lots. We have lots that are up to 40 feet wide. If we were to increase the setback on those lots, every one of those lots would be going to the zoning hearing board for most modifications. So I am suggesting a sliding scale on setbacks. 5 foot for lots 40 feet or less, 8 foot for lots 40 to 85 feet, and 15 for lots greater than 85 feet. I've heard a lot of discussion talking about going back to the historic 15-foot setback. I do go through in this memo and also through some graphic displays, show you what historically our setbacks have been. Just come down to the simpler table. So 1968 to 1978, our setbacks in the R1 and R2 district were 8-foot side yards, 12-foot for duplexes, and that was probably listed maybe as 6-foot on each side, 35-foot for apartments. 1978 to 1993, the R1 district had 10-foot side yard setbacks, and the R2 district had 8-foot side yard setbacks for single-family dwellings. It was actually in 1993 that, when that ordinance was adopted, that the 15-foot setbacks were put in. And then, of course, we presently have 5. Also, to give you an idea of what that did, zoning board-wise, that 15-foot setback, in the years prior to the adoption of the 93 15-foot setback, we were averaging 28.2 cases, zoning hearing board cases, a year. From 1993 to 2016, with the 15-foot setback, not that all of these cases were that, but certainly they had an impact, we were averaging 54.7 zoning hearing board cases a year. And upon the adoption of the 2017 ordinance, we were averaging 17.7 cases a year. So I think finding the sweet spot between what was historically there. The other information that I provided in this memo, and I realize it was really hard for you to see, although I did do it in a way that it could be blown up. was I provided you a bunch of the historic existing setbacks, just the distances between homes. In 1979, the township flew the entire township and mapped it. So that's the mapping that I used as the most accurate way to measure between some existing homes. And in many cases, you know, there's in the more dense parts of the village, there's 4 foot between homes. In other areas, newer builds, we do have some 15, we have some 20, we have some 30 feet between homes. Split that in half for the setback, basically. So we have this built fabric of the community in Palmdale and Hershey that I think, in my opinion, the 1993 ordinance was broken when it did the 15-foot setbacks across the board. I think it behooves us to find that sweet spot where we're providing setbacks related to the width of the lot to enable people that own smaller lots to enjoy their property.
The problem, I agree with you, except the problem has become the people that do that with those reduced setbacks are maybe enjoying their property, but their immediate neighbors now not enjoying their own property. And that's what got lost in the translation when we eliminated the 15-foot setbacks. Now, you could convince me that a sliding scale might be warranted, but I will say the problem we are seeing that it is occurring in the village primarily, maybe occurring in Palmdale. I haven't noticed it. I drive down through that area quite a bit. I didn't notice it down there, but I do notice it in the village area. And so, I mean, I don't know that I don't know that we want to paint such a broad brush that it's 15-foot setbacks and that's what we're stuck with, but I think it's important for every member of the board up here, based on just individual conversations I've had with them over the last few months, is that, that whatever the setback is returned to, whatever we go to, you know, it's consistent with the neighborhoods that exist today. And that's what we're seeing, is the complete changeover now. And what we're seeing really is, in my opinion, this all the reduced setbacks did was turn the village area into Derry Township into a flip it. One of those flip, you know, this is now a lucrative business. Come down to Derry Township in the village, flip an old house, put a McMansion on it, sell it for 3 times as much, and go to the next one. So I personally would like to see us change the setbacks. If not, I think there may still be some areas that should be 15 feet, but I'm willing to entertain that the village is not just one specific, you know, neighborhood. There are many more neighborhoods in the village, and maybe we could be a little more circumspect in terms of maybe a sliding scale. So does anybody else have comments?
If I could just answer one of your comments. The reason I drug Palmdale into it, you're right. We don't see nearly the teardowns and rebuilds in Palmyra. However, it has a 5-foot setback by today's zoning ordinance, and I think that, however, the village of Hershey is addressed, that Palmdale should be addressed in a similar manner because they have similar size lots throughout.
Now, I agree with questions or other points, because again, we're trying to give Chuck some guidance for this work session.
Chuck, I've got a point that Pat brought up to us that I think is really worth sharing with everyone. And he noted, because my concern was with the smaller lots increasing the setback, they're not necessarily building another Cape Cod on top of those lots. It becomes a much larger home, even if it is a smaller lot. And Pat brought up a really good point that makes Derry unique, in that if someone is tearing down a home, even if we increase the setbacks, can you explain it better than that?
Yeah, we've talked about this little language in the nonconformity section of Derry Township, allowing for someone to tear down a nonconforming structure and rebuild, mm-hmm. basically within the footprint. Right.
So I feel like if we increase the setbacks to more than 5 feet, those homeowners that have the smaller homes with a smaller setback, they'd be able to still build on the existing footprint, and they wouldn't really be impacted. They just couldn't make it any bigger. I feel like that's a nice compromise for those smaller lots.
Well, what Pat is suggesting is that they couldn't tear down that house and rebuild in the same footprint.
No, we could, because of your provision in the non-conforming. We talked about this before. Voluntarily tearing down a non-conforming structure, right?
Right.
They could rebuild and still maintain those pre-existing non-conformities.
Yes, they could.
Yes.
Yes, they could.
So they could build their new home on the same footprint without increasing any setbacks. So that would take care of those smaller properties without adding to the zoning burden, if I'm not understanding this correctly. That's how I'm trying to think
it through. If it were pre-existing non-conforming, yes.
Right. Okay.
Because I personally don't want to punish anyone who is buying a lot and wants to build a new house. But right. Like Chairman Russo said, a lot of times those new houses are impacting the neighbors. So we want to make sure that the neighbors aren't impacted by smaller setbacks.
Well,
and that
keep in mind, sometimes those new houses are impacting the neighbors because their house is 8 foot off the property line. So in all fairness, you know, that's why I like the sliding scale, trying to build into the fabric of the neighborhood. You know, if their house was 15 foot off the property line, you probably wouldn't hear a complaint. But I will get you this image or the images that I have here that are projected. I will get you those that you can zoom into and see some of the dimensions and so on, see what it looks like. But I think we can all come to really good terms. And of course, at the end of the day, we can do whatever the will of the board is.
Well, that's good. So you have at least, is there anyone else who wants to add on to what you've heard? So Chuck has some direction on the setbacks issue. We're going to go to a work session.
Right, the work session I think is good, and I sort of echo with both of those folks that Chris and Natalie. I guess the question I would have is if we go back to some different version of the setback, does somebody then come in and ask for a variance to build what they want to build? And then the numbers go back up like in your grid.
Right now, nobody's...
You're back to 93 numbers. 93 numbers meaning the amount of zoning hearing boards exemptions or exceptions that are being made to build.
Right. So... I can tell you from 93 forward, the zoning board became a little numb to the number of cases that it saw. It wasn't unusual to see 6 or 7 cases an evening.
Asking for relief.
And that's, right now, the zoning hearing board is, I don't want to say sharper, but that's just the word that comes to mind. When you don't have that big of an agenda, you know, they're paying attention, and they have much fewer cases for this type of relief. So I think it would take a while to get the zoning board to grant the setbacks, especially having just changed them, you know, once we would change them, to grant relief of those unless there was some really good reason.
Thank you.
Well, and so Natalie's raising a point, and I've said this before, Chuck. I mean, the idea is, I'd rather see, as one member of the board, I'd rather see you add staff. If the issue is, I know that in some respects it's a wise move to address the setbacks to create a more efficient process for our residents, because if every application coming to the zoning hearing board has to do with setbacks, and in every instance they're getting them granted, one could presume there's probably a sweet spot in there that if we just change the setback to that number, everybody's getting what they wanted and everybody's getting what they got from the zoning hearing board. That, like, over here actually makes sense. I think but in terms of doing that for purposes of cutting down on the number, if it's a staff issue for your team, and I know your team does get, is up to their eyeballs for, I'd rather see us add a full-time member to your department to help with the caseload generally, and then we'll address the issue with the zoning hearing board. But as we appoint people to the zoning hearing board, we will be more diligent to appoint folks that are more, strict constructionists as opposed to, you know, and in fairness to zoning hearing board members and boards over the years, if you're not getting guidance from the Board of Supervisors, you just, you sort of call it like you see it every meeting, right?
Please understand, I was not slamming the zoning board. As a matter of fact, I served 9 years on it before coming here, so I know what I'm talking about.
No, I know, you're right, and I'm not perceiving it, and I don't want you to perceive what I'm saying as a slight to them, because residents come in, developers, builders come in and make good arguments for why variance should be granted, and all too often in our community, when notice is provided to nearby homeowners of a zoning request, a relief request, no one shows up at those meetings or voices their concern, that we don't hear from them until after the structure is built, right? And that's not the fault of the builder, developer, community developer, or the township. And I've had this discussion with residents in the past, so I'm passionate about it, because we do give people notice that somebody is requesting to do something different in their neighborhood and speak up if it's a problem. But that all being said, I think this board does feel like the change in 2017 went too far. We'd like to see it. I think we'll entertain the sliding scale. But I think when some of us walked in tonight, we were at the 15. But I think we want to demonstrate to the community we're reasonable, you know, and if the sliding scale makes sense and we can get into the dive into the detail a little more on that, and we can see some examples to make sure what we're really trying to prevent is people buying lots, regardless of the size, but jamming houses that don't belong in those lots in a neighborhood that is clear they don't really belong, right? So, and you know, Chuck, I mean, I want to make it clear. I mean, this is, we've had folks who have come to the board asking for us to create a historic overlay district in the village area to prevent people from doing anything to their homes. That there is, this isn't about a few people that have that, you know, send emails to the board. There's a movement across this community, and it has existed, you know, for years. We heard about it, but it really wasn't until 17 when the zoning, the setbacks changed. We used to hear it in the form of complaints about a decision the zoning hearing board made. That's how come I was familiar with all of this. We don't hear of that anymore, because the zoning hearing board doesn't have to give those waivers. We're just seeing it now because residents are seeing what's being built. And so we want to address that. And I think we want to go back, but maybe not the full way. Sure. So, but I don't want to prejudge it. Let's have a work session. That'll be part of the work session. So what is so we have the setbacks we wanted addressed.
Pat kind of gave a highlight on the...
Yes, the master plan, if you look in your packets, I believe the track change version of the master plan provisions are in there, addressing maybe more rather than may, a lot of shall, addressing some or adjusting some of the percentages when we're talking about density and the benefits they get from going through the master plan process, including more specific required open space associated with the master plan process, and then some of the procedural aspects of the master plan.
Yeah, thank you for doing that, Pat. And Chuck, thank you. That was after we were already on the board, looked at the West End project, their open space was their giant retaining ponds. So moving forward in the future, that should we make these changes, that won't be the case. They'll actually be open space and not huge retaining ponds. So thank you. Look forward to discussing that part of it.
And then just to give you the skinny on the downtown core, those changes are really focused on changing the composition of the board. It used to be the Downtown Hershey Association was recommending the Board of Supervisors. To a point, it's now in the hands of Board of Supervisors with some guidance, some other minor tweaks in that section.
So we have the master plan changes, the setbacks. Is there anything else that you want some guidance on before we schedule a work session?
No, just read the track changes. I mean, not that you don't, but that'll get us way ahead of the game.
Okay. All right, so Pat, Chuck has put up on the board a calendar.
It looks like Chris would move up here. Never it is. Unless it's the 14th.
I'm wondering if the board, if board members ever have the opportunity to start, like, could we do a work session beginning at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and finish at 6, something like that?
That would make staff very happy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's partly why I was just saying it would make supervisors very happy. It is true, it would make staff happy. I'm sensitive to that, so.
And at that point, quite honestly, if you do want to do an unregular meeting night starting at 3, not that, you know.
I don't think we have to stand. I don't, I'll be honest.
I was watching Rick's face.
I'm looking at the schedule, so what I need, Chuck, I think what might be the best thing is, unless everybody has the ability to look at their schedules now over the next, between now, it's May 23rd, between now and say June 15th, you know, could we see if we can get a 3-hour work session of one day? I mean, I can make something, I can free up some time for myself if we do it from 3 to 6, I can find time.
And this calendar is
open to the public. Yes, to so the public would have to get off the meetings.
And this calendar is based on.
We have to get off work.
Yeah, we all have, not saying
you guys.
Yeah, well, we're.
This is based on meeting, evening meeting room availability. So if we promise to close at 6 on Tuesday the 6th, in advance of the Planning Commission, you know, that's actually a viable date if we're going 3 to 6.
June 6th.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, that when I'll email this calendar to you unless everybody's ready to make a decision.
I can look at my calendar now, but I don't know if everybody has the ability to do that.
I'll send it out.
I have a meeting June 6th in Monroe County.
Okay. I was just throwing that out there as an example. I will attend the Planning Commission as well, speaking of stamina.
How about June 7th?
Yeah, 7th.
I could do June 7th, 3 to 6, Natalie.
I can do June 7th.
Do you want Chris on?
Yeah, I don't think he has to be as long as
He might be able to make it daytime.
Yeah, Pat and Chuck would be the key, but Mike,
where June 7th?
I'm okay with that.
Carter? You're okay?
Chuck.
3 o'clock?
What, you want it to be wired?
You said 5 o'clock. I'm away that week. That's the only week I'm away.
All right, Chuck, it sounds like we have a consensus on June 7th, but you're going to tell me that doesn't work.
No, although I'm looking at my calendar just to make sure because.
That has to be up.
Yes. It does. And Pat, correct me if I'm wrong, that's a single ad.
Yes. Special meeting, you can probably do. We have plenty of time though.
Yeah.
Julie.
So thanks.
Julie is not available then.
It's the only week all year I'm away.
Daytime, if we want minutes, I can have Julie.
Yeah, that would be fine.
Okay. But I have to make sure she's okay.
Yeah, assuming, I mean, Janelle May would be not happy about that, but that's okay.
We have recorded and transcribed.
If Janelle can't do it, check that count.
Okay, and Marie also volunteered.
I don't know how much of all this
can do. I know. I'll have the laptop.
Of course.
There you go.
So you want to get the meeting recorded and then transcribed?
Doesn't matter to me either way. We
certainly have the ability to support it.
Well, they'll be able to listen. Like, they'll be able to, it'll be online, won't it? Like, the folks
can record it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the people who can't attend, we want them to know what's going on.
All right, Chuck, I think.
You may find yourselves all around a table here on the floor for that meeting.
So June 7th at 3, right?
June 7th, 3 o'clock. We'll plan 3 to 6, so it's hard stop at 6 for folks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that's the only fair way to look into these.
And let's set a goal for ourselves. We're going to get it done on the 7th. Let's all be focused as. I will make sure I read through the comments on the master plan and make sure that I'm not asking questions that I'm sure I know the answer to. So I ask everybody to be prepared so we can move through it.
And staff and Pat are available for a call ahead of that meeting if you have a question or you want something, you know, We'll do whatever we can to make it efficient.
So I really would like to be in a position, Chuck, where we're sending these comments to the Planning Commission, like starting the process of getting the text amendment in front of the board for approval. All right, I think that, is there anything else on this agenda item? I think we've covered that. Thank you, Chuck, and thank you, Pat. The next item is E, it's the consideration of adoption of Resolution 2023-12, authorizing the execution of documents required for highway occupancy permits associated with the preliminary final stormwater management and land development. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not, I stand corrected. Since we're done, D, we're going to go back to item C. Ready? You're that close.
Okay.
You guys, Ollie, you should be upset. He was sitting there waiting for me to call them up, and he knew you were waiting.
I was being polite. I thought you finished that.
We're going to re-invite our guests up for item C, and we'll pick up where we're at. So, Counselor.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. The applicant is amenable to adding that recommendation on extending the turning lane to the application for the HOP. We do have two requests on this, one relating to timing and then the other the cost. So probably stand back up and just explain on the timing issue.
Yeah, Holly Evans, for the record.
Okay.
Real brief, as the board knows, we were before you back in November, December, and the original anticipation was to be under construction in April. Obviously, that's not happened. All right. We currently have plans before the staff and HRG to review, which does not include that additional left-hand turn lane. What we'd like to be able to do is proceed with that review, proceed with that actual application, PennDOT with them, the initial application without the left-hand turn lane on the drawings. So that while HRG is doing their review, while PennDOT is doing their initial review, we are out there gathering the survey data, adding information to the drawings, so that when we get PennDOT's first round of comments back, we then add that additional length of left turn lane into our plans. So in our second submission to PennDOT, the left-hand turn lane will be on the drawings.
That's a question for HRG. I'm not sure how PennDOT submissions work, if that's something that's coming.
So by signing the application and beginning the PennDOT process, there's still a signature that would come at the end with the signal permit update. So it's not the last time you see something prior to the permit being issued. So there would be time to address our comments as well as incorporate any comments that PennDOT has on the initial design sooner rather than waiting until they have the other component design.
And we'll probably add that caveat to the HOP application agreement that it's clear that you're going to be adding that to the plan eventually.
With the very first
round. But the original submission is still, you're not going to submit it immediately. You still need HOP.
Oh, that's correct. That's correct.
To be okay with the plans as submitted thus far.
Correct.
We understand that you're going to add that.
Correct.
Right. Step.
Okay. Because we're currently anticipating HRG's review comments early June, that we'd be able to submit the plans and PennDOT in June. PennDOT would then do the review. We would not see comments from PennDOT back from mid-July or late July. If I have to wait till we do all the rest of the research, design, and everything else, we're going to delay this another couple more months because the time it's going to take to go out and do the survey, add it to the drawings, and incorporate the process into the drawings. So rather than delaying what's already
done. As long as HRG, the procedurally for the submission process, if that's doable, I'm okay with it, with the understanding that that will be specific provision in the HOP application.
And we would agree to make that part of the very first resubmission. So after we get our first resubmission of PennDOT, it would be included with the plans.
As long as the board's okay.
I don't know how you look at this. Does anybody have a problem with that? I defer to Eric as our engineer. Eric, you're comfortable with what Holly's representing, it doesn't seem.
Yeah, and just to reiterate, as I understand, we will complete our review here early June. You get comments, you send back to us for review, and then presuming that the comments are mostly addressed or we're all the way addressed.
Or significantly enough that any minor weren't worrying about it, we basically get the PennDOT process going, and we continue working with your engineer and your staff to to make sure that you're getting exactly what you want out of that review.
So you had a review then back from PennDOT on the addition of the left turn lane along May Street. And then when you get those comments, incorporate those. You're also going to be incorporating the extension of the southbound.
That's correct. In the meantime, while PennDOT's doing their review, we'll be adding that left turn lane into our base drawings and incorporating the whole process. So when PennDOT's comments come back, we incorporate their comments. We now have a left turn lane. We've had HRG's comments. So our second submission now has everything.
Just a question, because I don't do PennDOT submissions on an everyday basis. Are you going to let PennDOT know this is coming, or are you just going to say surprise to the second
submission? It really doesn't matter. I mean, we've done submissions from PennDOT for private projects all over the place, and oftentimes we'll get comments back, things that can be adjusted based upon township comments, whatever else, and things do modify it. A turn lane, a location, a driveway.
I agree. From PennDOT's standpoint, if something changes with the future submission, as long as they're generally put out retransmittal, an explanation as to why. But
correct.
But yeah, it's not uncommon for something to be added partway through.
The left lane's there. We're simply lengthening it, so they're not going to make a big issue with that. That won't be a concern. So that's a scheduling request that I'd like to ask the board to allow us to keep the process moving and not lose any more time on that part of the process. Over here, aware. Be on the next.
If you want to address the cost issue.
Okay. Yeah. Relative to the cost, and very briefly, as we've indicated. You know, our portion is about 20-25% of this additional length. For my client to engage us to do this additional design, we're going to have a cost to go out there and survey, for us to survey it, design it, and we're willing to carry that cost. My client's willing to carry that cost, which we figure is about 20% of the cost of the overall project, of that part of the project, of the left turn lane. I guess the request would be is we will handle the permitting process, we'll handle the cost of the design, no issues with the township there. But we'd like to ask the township to consider carrying the cost of the construction of the left turn lane here. So basically, we would carry the design, the permitting, the design cost at no cost to the township, and then the township would carry strictly the cost of the lengthening of the left turn lane as a fair share contribution. That we would do our fair share of our 20%, since we're really only responsible for about 20-25% of that cost. And the township would simply cover the construction cost. We would prepare the documents for you. The documents are ready to go. You have the engineering cost, and whether you want to implement it immediately or you want to implement it, you know, at a later time, it can be done separately because that lane is not stipulated. It would not have to be tied to the same maintenance pressure traffic controls. And again, I'll let your engineer respond to that.
I'm not going to speak to the board, but I'd be surprised if the answer to that would be yes, especially tonight. And I think you're looking for the board's looking at these improvements all associated. I understand what you're going to say in response to this, but all associated with your development, right? I understand what your response is going to be. So I think asking this board tonight at this point to foot the bill for improvements that are really only part of an HOP application because of a traffic impact study and reviews from the traffic engineer with respect to your proposed project is a heavy ask at the least.
You anticipated my response, and the response really is, this is a request from your engineer. Our traffic study indicates that this is not something that would be required. And in fact, we would push back on this. If this were an ask from PennDOT, we'd be pushing back on having to make this improvement. The ask is from your engineer to make an improvement to lengthen this lane that
to lessen the degradation of the level of service associated with the traffic impact study. I'm not an engineer, I'm not going to pretend to be, but it's all related to going on this piece of property.
If this improvement doesn't happen, that lane is what it is. This is going to be a problem regardless of whether this project moves forward or not. That's the point. These are significant improvements, off-site improvements that this applicant has agreed to make throughout this intersection. This is one additional piece that was added on. We're willing to pick up our fair share of the impact that we're creating here, but we feel it's appropriate and reasonable to ask this board to say, okay, if we want to move forward with that and have that as an additional piece to this puzzle, that it would be covered. That's how we would approach this. I mean, we would approach that with any response to PennDOT as well.
You'd ask PennDOT to pick up the bill?
Well, we wouldn't push back on that for
25 feet
to make an improvement.
Like I said, I'm not going to speak for the board, but I'd be surprised if you get a positive response to that request.
I mean, I'd like to hear it.
I'm not speaking to comment on that.
I mean, I think that that's what we're asking here is we were picking up the substantial already of all of the other improvements that they're taking care of. This particular one
is a significant improvement to that intersection.
Right. Elsewhere, beyond this piece.
I think conceptually the problem is that we're still not convinced that all of these improvements are really going to fix the problem. There's a problem that exists, and that problem is going to get worse. And my friends that are the traffic engineers, I'm going to repeat it again, whatever formula that they use, whatever manual they use, whether it's from PennDOT or the International Association of Traffic Engineers, it does not accurately reflect a community that is so heavily steeped in tourism. And it can't, because there's no way, unless you guys are telling, unless the three of you, Holly, Ambrose, and Pablo, unless you're telling me that you're there on the weekends during the height of traffic tourism season, we have concerts and things like that in town, and it feels like it's every weekend anymore. There is no way you would agree with me that the traffic, the charts that we saw up on the screen do not reflect what is actually going to happen. Which leads me to believe, I believe it was all done correctly. What I'm saying is, whatever formula existed in the manual that is being relied upon to bump it up an extra 15% or whatever else, it's all predicated, there's no baseline for our kind of community. You'd have to show me in the manual where it defines, you know, whatever we are as a community. That's how that formula was built to reflect the volume of traffic. Because I'm just telling you from living here, I have been on this board for a decade, over two different decades. I have never seen a project where the traffic engineer presentation actually reflected what happened afterwards. So I sound like a broken record of my colleagues. I'm sure I frustrate them, but it's like they're living through it, but I've lived through it in the community. I've seen more of these projects than all of them, and it's always borne out to be true that like
we know. Are you comparing traffic
engineers to weathermen? Yes. No, I don't, because I think they do a great job. I truly do, and Mr. Greasy and I are big fans of this. But it's just like it can't be that that it's reflecting the true traffic volumes. Because when we're here, I mean, we're running into the same issue on another project, another part of the township, and every morning when I go to work, I'm like, I want to get out of my car on the way to work and start taking pictures of how far the traffic is backed up. And to me, I can't disagree that at other points of the day, those same intersections, you can breeze right through. But the traffic snarl that occurs there, and the traffic snarl that's going to occur here. And all of these traffic improvements that you propose don't even reflect what's really going to happen inside that development. For better or worse, I get my hair cut there, right? So look at my hair, right? I go to the haircut place up there, Holiday Hair. They do a great job. That parking lot is always a little bit crazy to get in and out of. Forget about it, again, during tourist season, when the people coming into this community, they're already funneled on Hershey Park Boulevard for a reason. And so what we're saying is that we see with our own eyes from being up there, it's going to get really bad. And all of the improvements you're talking about, none of them will address those issues. So, yeah, that's why we feel like if you want to build this thing, you've got to fix everything that we think is tied into that corner. Right? And I know it may not be normal, but I don't believe the traffic studies. I think they're going to be much worse.
Okay. My client, we're fine. If that will get...
I'm bored down.
That will give us over the edge.
I think that will get you over the edge.
If we can move forward tonight.
I think we have a deal.
I think the board was okay with your first piece. As long as the engineers agree that the submission is not going to be an issue, adding it to the second submission. So,
I think we're good. If you're good with that, I think we can take it.
We can take the agreement.
Yes.
The agreement will work, Mr. Armstrong, on the pleading agreement.
Yeah, there's a draft. I think it's, I think it was...
Multiple drafts.
Charlie provided it last week. I'll look at the latest version. We'll add this little piece.
That's fine.
I'm not sure how long it's going to take HRG to review whatever's been submitted to the design plans for the HRG permit.
We had them scheduled to be completed by June 1st.
That's what we were hoping for. For sharing schedule, I mean, obviously, if we get their comments June 1st, and knowing your next board meeting is July 13th, correct? Or June 13th. June 13th. That you're going to want to vote on the actual agreement or the agreement.
What they're, to the extent the board proceeds with a motion, I believe maybe they have one in mind, the motion would likely be authorizing proceeding with the HOP application subject to finalizing the HOP application in a manner and form acceptable to the township and further authorizing whoever executes for the township, whether it's Chris and Carter, as well as subject to HRD being agreeable to the final design plans that will be submitted with HOP permit application.
We're going to be shooting for basically, you know, June 13th to 15th in that ballpark to be able to submit the plans based on receipt of your comments.
That's acceptable.
It's up to the board.
All right, so I'm going to ask, do you want to make the motion for us, Pat? And then I'll make the motion, but do you want to... I want to make sure we don't mess up the motion. I was going to read it off of here. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that the Board of Supervisors agrees to be the applicant for and authorizes the submission of the PennDOT permit application for public road improvements in and adjacent to the PennDOT right-of-way to include the left-hand turn lane going south on Hershey Park Drive. Conditioned upon HRG's concurrence with the design of the proposed improvements and the applicant entering into an agreement with the township related to the submission of the PennDOT permitting plans in a manner and form acceptable to the township. Does that sound okay?
That sounds okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, with the understanding that the agreement's going to include the provision that they add.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's, as long as the agreement's in a manner and form acceptable to township and the design plans are acceptable to the township.
All right, so I think the motion is sufficient. So there's, I've made the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Is there any discussion or questions on the motion? Is anybody unclear on the motion and what the intent of the motion is? Okay. Hearing on all those
I have favor. A question. Sorry, it's addressed. You're good. I'm sorry.
All those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion is unanimously passed. And we will work to get you the documentation you need as well from us for
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Now we will move to item E, Mr. Heinbaugh. Consideration of adoption of resolution 2023-12 authorizing the execution of documents required for highway occupancy permits associated with the preliminary final stormwater management and land development project Milton Plat 1362 and entering into agreements with PennDOT and the Hershey Company related to the same. Mr. Emery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is related to two portions of the plan. One is the shared use path, which I've shown on the screen. A small portion of that shared use path is within the PennDOT right-of-way. As is the way with PennDOT, they want the township to own and operate, maintain that shared use path. The Hershey Company is presently required to install, construct, maintain, and repair the remainder of the path within an easement area on the property along Reese Avenue. It therefore makes sense that they would take on the same responsibility in the case of this small segment within PennDOT right-of-way. So if any approval to sign the PennDOT shared use path right-of-way agreement should be conditioned on the Hershey Company accepting and agreeing to all requirements of the township under the shared use path easement that between the Hershey Company and the township. The second item that is related to this agenda item is the stormwater design for Project Milton included provisions to discharge water across Norfolk Southern Railroad right-of-way and under Old West Chocolate Avenue, ultimately going to the Hershey Park Camping Resort on its way to the Swearing Creek. PennDOT requires that the township be the permittee for the highway occupancy permit, and they require a resolution for the purpose for that purpose if the applicant is a government unit. Additionally, PennDOT requires a release from Hershey Entertainment Resorts Company for the stormwater flow through the campground, which the Hershey Company was able to obtain. The Hershey Company will also need to sign an agreement binding them to conditions mandated by PennDOT during the conduct of the highway occupancy permit work, as we have done in prior instances where PennDOT requires the township to be the permit applicant. Pat Armstrong will prepare this agreement. So I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors adopts Resolution 2023-12 authorizing the execution and submission of the documents required for highway occupancy permits associated with the preliminary final stormwater management and land development plan for Project Milton by 1362, conditioned upon the Hershey Company entering into an agreement with the township to take on the township's obligations related to the same.
Questions for Mr. Emmerich on this item?
Yeah, Chuck, real quick, how far does that shared use path go? Does that go all the way down to the end of Reese Avenue?
It goes down to the end. It connects into an existing sidewalk in front of the Reese plant and pretty much runs to the end of their property.
Okay, so that would all be ours then?
It would be ours to use, theirs to maintain.
Okay, that's what I'm getting. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yes, but correct me if I'm wrong, if you bring it back up, there's only a very small piece of that path in the right way of PennDOT, right? And that's the only piece that's applicable to the PennDOT application and the shared use path agreement that PennDOT provided. That little piece right there that's inside the yellow line, right, Chuck?
Yep.
That's the only piece that PennDOT's looking for these dollars for. Yeah, we already have it. When you finally approved the plan back in December, we already have an easement for that pathway between the owner and the township. This extra thing is what PennDOT's asking for, because that little piece of the path goes inside the right-of-way of PennDOT.
Any questions for Chuck on this item? Any additional questions? All right, hearing none, is there a motion?
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors adopts Resolution Number 2023-12 authorizing the execution and submission of the documents required for an HOP associated with the preliminary final stormwater management and land development project known from Path 1362 and authorizes the requested signatures on the shared path easement agreement with PennDOT and PennDOT's Form N-945RC. Conditioned upon the Hershey Company entering into an agreement with the township to take on the township's obligations related to the same.
All right, thank you. Motion is made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Zabuda. Is there any further discussion or any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item is F. It's the acceptance of unilateral declaration of covenants, easements, conditions, and restrictions, and the release of financial security for the stormwater management plan for 1108 Middletown Road. Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Wiles submitted to us the stormwater management plan for 1108 Middletown Road. They recorded that plan. They actually started to build them. As part of that plan, they posted $19,428 to ensure the timely installation of stormwater management facilities. The Wiles have since sold the property, and they request the return of their financial security. Prior to that happening, the new owner has torn down the basement that has begun on that lot. The new owner owns the land behind this property. And that was an agenda item earlier. Anyway, to address the matter of the recorded stormwater management plan being on file, Pat did prepare the attached unilateral declaration of covenants, easements, conditions, and restrictions. which states that the Wiles and the new owner of the lot declare the stormwater management plan to be formally withdrawn and no longer valid. That's being done so that we can return the financial security, in essence, by avoiding the claim. So I'm recommending that the board accepts the unilateral declaration of covenants and conditions and restrictions and releases the cash financial security in the amount of $19,428 that was provided by the Wiles for the stormwater management plan for 1108 Middletown Road, conditioned upon the Wiles and the new owners signing and recording the declaration and providing proof of the same to the township.
All right. Is there any questions for Chuck on this item?
On this one. I'm glad that now I know where this was. So what happened? They built a basement and then tore it down?
So I understand that the people who were building the home had to transfer a job they couldn't refuse.
So there's two lots in there. It wasn't on the same lot where the